Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. Our foundation scripture comes from John chapter 6 and verses 16 and 17. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Welcome again to today's podcast. Summer is rapidly coming to a close, and institutions of learning from preschool to public and private schools to colleges and universities are opening. For those of you participating in our writing challenge, it is yet another opportunity to use a natural calendar timeline to help in your establishing and meeting deadlines in completing your book. If you haven't begun to write, now is a great opportunity at the beginning of the school year. And for those of you who are writing, I encourage you to continue. And remember, the only thing that can stop you is you. Also remember, I'm always available if you need help. My contact information is on my website. Just go to williamporterlife.com. Well, today begins the recitation of stories in the second chapter of my book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. The title of the chapter is Caught by the Storm. Our story begins with lead character, Alan, desiring to have a date with his girlfriend, Joan. But he has to deal with his parents before that could happen. Alan Jackson and Joan had been dating since they were sophomores in high school. At Jefferson High, they were inseparable and so much in love. It was an earlier time when love meant being together, not tied to emails or texting as a primary means of communication. Their parents knew each other, and both families thought they were a perfect match. Well, everyone, that is, except Alan's father, who had a lot to say about the relationship. While both Alan and Joan grew up in Salinas, Kansas, a small town about 4 hours away from the large metropolitan area of Kansas City, Missouri, Alan decided that after graduation, he would attend Kansas City State University. KCSU was a small college in neighboring Kansas City, Kansas, on the opposite side of the Mouse River that separated the two cities. While KCSU was a rather small regional institution, it specialized in atmospheric studies, the weather, and that was what Alan had always been interested in studying. Alan had mixed emotions about attending KCSU because it required him to be separated from his family, that is, his father Will, his mother Jean, and his sister Jane. But who he would miss the most would be the love of his life, his girlfriend Joan. He would be separated from her for the first time for a prolonged period. Of course, he knew they would be only a phone call away. Despite being away from a familiar environment at home, Alan looked forward to becoming more independent. He soon would graduate from high school and go away to college. But the greatest concern that Alan had about leaving Salinas was that he would be separated from his sweetheart, Joan. He would say on occasion, "I guess we will just have to write letters to each other every other day and talk a lot on the phone." But that would be a lot different from being around one another on a near constant basis as they were in Salinas. In high school, Alan and Joan dated a lot, probably more than the typical high schoolers, and they were inseparable. Alan was really fond of Joan, and the feeling was certainly mutual with her. Besides, Joan was good at math, something Alan never had a liking for. She helped him a lot with classwork and While Alan had some acquaintances prior to meeting Joan, he had little interest in them. But Joan was his first real love, and she was very much in love with him. Alan's father was never comfortable with seeing his son with Joan so much, and thought that he should widen his circle of friends. Alan's father asked him once, "Alan, are you going over to Joan's house again?" he said with obvious disdain in his demeanor. He thought that Alan should widen his contacts so that his overall social life would be strengthened. Well, Will had gone so far in his thinking about his son's social life that he thought that the relationship with Joan was misguided. He feared such an emotional attachment to one individual at such a young age would ultimately be more harmful than helpful in his growth as a young man. Despite the feelings Will had about his son's relationship with Joan, he thought that she was a nice girl, just a pretty little thing, Alan once said to him in a joking fashion about the love of his life. Alan wasn't being disrespectful toward Joan with that statement, but in his own way was recognizing her beauty. After all, he was taught in Sunday school to act respectfully toward the opposite sex. His Sunday school teacher did warn the young people in her class that their feelings of great sensuality were more likely to be expressed by them because of their early physical development, as well as their often unchecked emotions. While the teacher's assessment of her students may have been misguided and a bit unfair, the evidence of Alan's unchecked emotions, you might say, was made evident in his reference to Joan as just a pretty little thing. Yes, this was only one example of Alan's cavalier personality that his mother never really appreciated. It was this part of Alan's persona that Joan simply accepted, as he was her first love, and she was so excited about that. Despite all the questions that his father had raised about Alan's relationship with Joan, he was confident that his son would widen his circle of relationships once he got to college. As Alan looked forward to an early graduation from high school, he felt comfortable with maintaining a loyal relationship with Joan while being away in college. His father continued to impart as much wisdom as he could to Alan about not focusing so much on Joan. He thought that she was a nice girl, but also believed that Alan needed to develop himself more socially and have a broader range of friends, both male and female. But Alan was almost offended by that notion because he knew what he wanted, at least what he felt he wanted, and that was a close relationship with Joan. Having just received his driver's license, Alan was told by both his parents that he should not drive alone until he got more experience. But he was persistent in getting the things that he wanted. So when he was alone with his mother, he asked her if he could use his father's car to drive and have an evening out with Joan. "Of course not," his mother replied. "You need more experience." However, since it wasn't her vehicle that Alan was asking about, she quickly added, "Well, Alan, that's something you'll have to ask your father about when he comes home." Jean knew that her son would not be asking for the use of her car because it had a standard transmission in which Alan had not been trained. Alan knew that his mother would soon be leaving the house and therefore had only his father to convince him to use his car. So, when his dad returned later that day, Alan asked him the same question he had presented to his mother, only it was not a question. It was a statement of his desire. a desire to be with her, with Joan. "Dad, I want to use the car this evening to take Joan to dinner," Alan flatly stated. Realizing that his son was a good driver for his age, and after a brief discussion of the matter, his father submitted to Alan's request and allowed him to use his car for that purpose. Later that evening, Alan drove to Joan's house to take her out for a stroll. Alan had prearranged his meeting with Joan several days earlier, not knowing if he would be successful in convincing his father to allow him to use his car. Well, Alan got his wish, and when he called Joan to give her the news that he would be over later to go out, she was ecstatic. Joan was just happy that they would be driving alone someplace, any place for the evening, a romantic evening with just the two of them. But she did not know what to expect on this occasion. It would be a surprise from Alan. Joan's parents really liked Alan. He was so respectful, they thought, always treating their daughter like a lady. So when he arrived at Joan's house that evening, her parents greeted him and called Joan to let her know that Alan was there. Meanwhile, still waiting in her room, Joan finally said to herself, "Ooh, he's here. He's actually here." Joan had already been waiting for several minutes. She wanted to look perfect for him. Joan tried out for the cheerleading squad, but was rejected because she was a few pounds over the weight limit. But Alan liked her just the way she was and was very proud that she was known on campus as being his girl. Alan, who was sitting in a chair near the front door, eventually saw Joan come down the stairs, and she looked gorgeous, he thought. "Hello, Alan. I'm here," she told him. "Joan, you sure look nice tonight," was Alan's response. They met each other and held hands, and Alan assured her parents that they would be back on time. "We'll be back at 9, and don't worry, your daughter will be in good hands," he told them as they both waved to Joan's parents. Then they got into the car. After that, off they went. Although the vehicle was a two-seater with a gear stick in between in the front, Joan got herself over that and clung close to Alan, at least as close as she could get. Alan was on cloud 9, you might say. Yes, he was in heaven, the heaven in his own mind of being with the love of his life. Then she said to him, "Oh, Al." She called him Al whenever they were alone. Then she continued, "It's so nice to be with you tonight," Joan told him. It was all Alan could do to keep his hands on that steering wheel and away from wrapping them around Joan. But of course, he thought better of it. Trying not to be distracted from the road, Alan continued to drive until they arrived at their destination. Joan was pleasantly surprised when Alan told her that they were going to Solis. It was one of the most expensive restaurants in town, a quaint little place on the edge of downtown Salinas. While small, it had cloth-covered tables with candles in the middle that provided a soft, romantic glow. What made it more impressive was that they were nestled in one of only two booths in the establishment that was secluded from the rest of the restaurant. Soft background music added to the atmosphere of the place. Obviously, Joan was thrilled, and after a sumptuous meal of steak and an assortment of side dishes, they talked for what must have been at least 1 hour. Eventually, they left their table, embraced briefly, and held hands before leaving the restaurant. Alan, always respectful of the time spent with Joan because of what he perceived as her parents' concern for her well-being, took her back to her house at the time he told her parents that they would return. It was growing late, and they finally left just before closing. The same attendant who greeted the couple as they entered the facility said to them, "Have a nice evening," before the door being closed behind them. The cool chill of the evening air met Joan and Alan, with crickets singing being the only sound they'd hear. Then Joan uttered these words, "Oh, Al, it was such a wonderful evening." Alan knew he would surely miss nights like this when he left for college. Joan, who was also a graduating senior, would attend college as well, but had decided to enroll in a local technical institution in Salinas called Washington Tech. Joan chose this school because it had a program in interior design. The school's football team, which played in a special league that included other technical schools from around the state, were state champions. And oh, how she loved football. She often asked Alan, "Alan, why didn't you go out for football?" And Alan would reply, "Joan, I'm going places in life. Most of these guys on the football team aren't going anywhere." The response by Alan generated Joan's own reply. She said, "Oh, Al, you're so silly." Let's take another break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Being fresh from his date with the love of his life, Alan was back home, needing to prepare to take off for college. Little did he know that he would need to utilize his knowledge and interests in weather during the coming months. He would learn to weather the storm, so to speak, in more ways than one. Alan really looked forward to Christmas with mixed emotions. The Jacksons always had a joyful holiday with gifts galore, and everyone eagerly anticipated the sharing of presents. On the other hand, it would be a time when he would celebrate Christmas for the last time while calling his parents' house his permanent dwelling place. Being a gifted student in high school, he received an award that allowed him to attend college early. He would be enrolling soon at KCSU in January. When Christmas Day arrived, among the presents in the Jacksons' household was a new car for Alan, a hybrid that would be extremely efficient on gas mileage. Alan would certainly need that for his travels to and from college. Besides, Alan had a special liking for cars, especially smaller, sporty cars. Alan's parents had been saving money for quite some time for this special gift, so it wasn't a great financial burden for them. Alan was more than ready to take off after the holidays and begin his college career. Winter in Kansas can be quite severe. It was not uncommon for cold air to descend into the state at that time of year when bitter continental air masses from northern Canada began to drift south into the high plains of the Dakotas, Montana, and as far south as Nebraska, Kansas, and even Oklahoma, which is the next state south of Kansas. Weather systems in the midsection of the country often bring periodic gusty winds where temperatures sometimes dip as low as the single digits, and, occasionally, even below 0 degrees. To make matters worse, sometimes these systems include precipitation in the form of frozen rain, sleet, and snow. One night about a week before Christmas, Alan laid in bed and just listened to the howling wind outside while he was safely tucked away under the covers. The weather outside only assisted him in thinking about the love of his life, Joan. Sometimes he would simply hum a tune, any tune, and listen to the wind. The fireplace would still be going before the flames would eventually flicker out. A roar of thunder also could be heard in the distance. Yes, Alan was there having a dream. A night dream, no less, while still in a conscious state about Joan. After a few minutes, Alan came out of his trance-like state and thought more of the reality of his situation at that time. He suddenly began to think about the potentially dangerous weather conditions he would be confronted with in his travels, because he knew that soon he would be taking off and heading to college. New Year's Day came and went, and the Jackson family was still enjoying their Christmas gifts. Everyone seemed to be as thrilled as Alan was about his new car. It was a bright, shiny, light tan vehicle that required a lot of effort from Alan to keep it that way. He had to clean it, and clean it a lot to keep it gleaming. From a pre-arranged visit to the college with his father a few months earlier, Alan knew that there was a car wash only 2 blocks from the condo in Kansas City that had been secured during that visit. Alan seemed now prepared for college. So that's the story for this week. Yes, Alan was living in a heaven on earth as it regarded his relationship with Joan. But his parents, the campus life he would soon have, as well as Joan herself, would provide interesting challenges for him. But just like in our foundation scripture, when Jesus was not with his disciples when they were at sea, likewise, Alan had not considered his faith much when faced with the temptation of focusing on the love of his life. The physical attraction was just too much for him to resist. As a result, the challenges of being away in college would await him. The story about Alan and his experiences can be found in my book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. Just go to my website to get order information. That website address is www.williamporterlife.com. You can also go directly to amazon.com to pick up a copy. Well, so much for this podcast. In closing the program today, just remember this. Despite your situation, whether it's good or bad, there's always more good things coming your way. Have a great day and have a great weekend. I'll see you right back here the next time.